Well, we're so blessed to have Pastor Joel with us again for the last time this Sunday. You know, our theme is Limitless Conference, and he's been sharing from God's Word some things that are going to unlock that limitless life that God has for us, right? The Lord giving us access, getting rid of the things that prevent us from crawling through chairs. No, getting rid of the things that prevent us from pursuing and walking and being released into everything that the Lord has for us. Amen. So we believe that we have a word again this morning. We're so blessed to receive him as a pastor and as a teacher and as a prophet. And we just recognize the call of God in your life, Pastor Joel, and we're ready to receive from you. So be welcome.
Awesome. Good morning, everyone. Awesome. So good to be here. And just like Pastor Cam said, I'm just glad I got through those chairs last night. I tell you, that was a work, man. That was dicey. I didn't know if I was going to get out. But I just have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed my couple days here. It was a pleasure and honor to be with your church family. You know, we got a good family here. Man, that should be like, whoop, whoop. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's my family. It's a good, solid rock family. And it's an honor to be here. Privileged to, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You yelling? Okay, yeah, you feel that. But man, just so hospitable. And so if you're looking for a home church, maybe you all belong here, maybe you don't, but if you don't, this is a good place to connect, because there are people that truly, and they're genuine. You know, that's one thing I was just thinking about Pastor Cam and Candace this morning. You know, anybody played baseball before? You know, one thing I really appreciate seeing on that glove on there, it's genuine leather. Yeah. What does that mean? They're not adding anything to it? Well, I just thought the same thing about your pastors. They're genuine. You're not getting anything fake. What you see is what you get. It's the real deal here. And so this church is going places because it's genuine. There's an authenticity to it. And I mean, that's what this world needs, is authentic, right? Genuine, real faith. And so I'm just thankful and just blessed to be part of what this church is doing. And it's already doing amazing things. There's some hungry people in this room. And it's just amazing to be a part of. And so for me, like, yeah, it's, maybe you're like, oh, I've been blessed this week. And that's great. But it's also been a blessing for me just to be here with you as well, because this church is doing some wonderful things. So, and make sure you go to the post. You use your 25% off coupon today. That post is awesome. It's a word at the right time. Is that right word at the right time? So make sure you go get that. And get a t-shirt, because they look good. And if you like to show off your pipes, you just get a couple of sizes smaller, and then you're fine. Cam said that to me the other day. Man, you're looking real trim. I said, no, that's just because I wear a small shirt. That's all that is. That doesn't make any difference. So for you men out there, that's the secret to making your wife look and you go, man, what's going on with you? It's an extra small. No big deal. Awesome. All right, well, let's get into the Word of God this morning. We're gonna read this Ephesian prayer again. And I hope you're not bored by that prayer. But especially, I really enjoy the Passion Bible. It just brings out, because it's written in the Aramaic, so it brings out a whole, sometimes different thoughts to it and brings out different words. Because, you know, our English language is a little bit limited. I don't know if you knew that or not. For example, the word love. When we say, I love you, or I love pizza, man, we got the one word for it. But, you know, in the Greek, there's seven different loves. Now, we don't phileo love pizza, because then we just got problems, right? it's just neat to kind of get some different paraphrases, translations, just to kind of get a couple glimpses on it. And Ephesians chapter 3, I think, that does a wonderful job regarding just the paraphrase and bringing some words out. So again, this is the Apostle Paul, and he's praying for this church. Remember, he's in prison while he's writing this word. And because of all this, seeing the wonderful plan that God had in store. You know, Ephesians 1 talks about the plan that God had from the before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about Jesus accomplishing that plan for us, that he came, sacrificed his life. Ephesians chapter 3 is the Holy Spirit now revealing this plan to his saints, which is us. And so Paul is kind of writing all this, and then middle of the book, he goes, so I humbly bow my knee, I humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, this Messiah, seeing the plan that God had from the beginning, seeing that Jesus came and accomplished this plan, and now you and I are product of the plan that happened before the foundation of the world began. You're here, and God knew that. That's amazing. And so he's saying, I bow my knee in awe before our amazing Father, before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect Father. Somebody say, perfect Father. He's the perfect Father. He's a good dad. He's a wonderful dad. The perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and earth is named, and I pray that he would unveil within you. Now, what does he want to do? Come on, what does he want to do? He wants to unveil within you what? I know it's early and you had a nice meal before service, but we can still read, right? What did he do? He wants to unveil within you what? The unlimited riches of His glory and favor. That's what He wants to do. So this morning, what's the will of God for you in my life? He wants to unveil within you and I what He's already done on the inside. He wants to unveil what He's already done. So much of the time we think, God, can you please do something? God, please come and move. He's already moved. What you and I need to get a glimpse of is what He's already done. Amen. That's good. That's maybe be a paradigm shift for some of you, but that's okay. You need that once in a while. We're not waiting for God to do something. He's already done it. Okay. He says, the limited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. And then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and the root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of this astonishing love of Christ in all of its dimensions. Now here are some of the dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love? Remember when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Remember what BC was before Christ was for you? Remember how far-reaching it was He reached you? You fill in the blank. He reached out to you, and how intimate that love was when you experienced it. Then He goes on to say, how enduring and inclusive it is. Anybody ever done something stupid before? Yeah. Stupid, yeah, but I mean stupid, like S-T-O-O-O-O-P-I-D. Like that kind of stupid. Yeah, I've done that too. How inclusive it is. And it says, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. How do we get filled to the full and the fullness of God is understanding the great magnitude of His love. What I've come to realize is, knowing that how much you get a revelation of how much God loves you, you realize there's nothing that He wouldn't do for you. And on the other hand, when you realize how much God loves other people, there's nothing God wouldn't do through you to reach somebody. Man, it's good stuff. Verse 20, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. Oh, come on, Jesus. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet manifest through time and eternity. Amen. You know, Jesus is good, and He's better than you even think He is. He's amazing. He's wonderful, and I'm so glad that we get to be in His family. So what we've been talking about over the course of the last two nights specifically, we talked about a couple things that Pastor Cam already mentioned, but I want to put that into you again. We talked about protecting our hunger. If I'm going to be hungry for God, who is it up to? Pastor Cam, right? He's going to make sure I get hungry for God. Oh boy, you got a job ahead of you, sir. Now, whose job is it that I stay hungry or even maintain or even develop a hunger for God? It's up to me. It belongs to me. Next is also giving God room and access and time in our hearts. We have to give God something to work with. And then again, last night we talked about guarding our heart from anything that would take first place in our life. I don't want any distractions, and it's great. It's great to have stuff. It's nice to have things, but I'm not going to let those things have me. Right, so what am I going to do? I'm going to keep God number one in my life, and no thing is going to come even near that. Nothing's going to test the waters with God. Well, God, I got a sweet new truck coming my way. That's great. Well, it's got mud flaps, and it's got like the big rifle station for it, and I got a new quad, and I can go catch some deer with it. That's great. I'm in the fall with the joke now, so I get it. I was ignorant before, then Pastor Cam enlightened me, so I was grateful for that piece of knowledge. But here's the thing. All those things are great, but it's never going to be my number one. Nobody is ever going to replace Jesus as my number one. Can I get an uh-huh on that? All right, that's what I'm talking about. And so what we're doing is I need a heart that is clear. This is what we're talking about. I need a heart that is clear. Clear from things, clear from the distractions of this world, clear from offense, clear from strife, clear from bitterness. Why? So that I can capture in my mind what it is God wants to reveal to me about maybe my personal life, about my family, about relationships, about what He wants me to do with the rest of my life. I need to capture those thoughts, so I need to be able to be clear to hear. And that's the whole premise behind all that we talked about the last two nights. Right? High five. Okay, we're good. All right. Now, so this is where we finished off last night. I'm going to pick it up right here. We are talking about training ourselves to relocate our thoughts. We have to train. Everybody say train. Anybody good? Enjoy a good training? Well, I mean, we know we do physical training. There's, you know, you can do emotional training, mental training, spiritual training. We know there's different exercises for it. But training requires effort, right? If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But I remember, especially when I worked, played a lot of soccer. I traveled a lot across Canada, U.S. with it. And so all the training, I remember Saturday mornings were basically just running days. That's what it was. We'd show up early to a field, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, on Saturday morning, when you should be sleeping in and, you know, watching Bugs Bunny or something, right, with your mom's French toast that she makes so good, and you just pour that Rogers syrup all over it and eat it all up. That's what I'm talking about. But instead, training day. So we'd go to that hill, and I'm talking about like our hills that we got, because we're in a valley as well, Red Deer's in the valley, and we got some crazy uphills. We would just run for 3 hours, up these hills, down these hills, sideways, backwards, and you name it, we did it, until we puked. That's it. And the coach went, okay, we're done now. He knows that he finally got to us. Man, those were tough days, I tell you. But now it's the same way for you and I. We have got to train ourselves to relocate our thinking. We've got to train ourselves in doing it. So what we got to do is take time practicing, seeing what is in another realm. How many know? Because there's some things that are beyond just this natural realm. What we see here, great, it's nice. God, of course, God created it. But there's more to this natural realm, because the spirit world gave birth to this natural world. Okay, so we've got to learn this. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 3 again. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. What am I setting my sights on? The realities. The realities of heaven. Say realities. The realities. It's not the fakeness of what's going on up there. It's the reality, the truth. What's going on actually up there? Just as much of things are moving on here. Guess what? Heaven's got an agenda. God has an agenda. Things are moving. Things are in the scenes. We're getting ready to be taken out of here, folks. Jesus is coming back real soon. So you better be real nice to each other, because we're going to be with each other for a very long time. He says, the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Well, why do I have to do that? Well, he says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Why? Because you died to this life. And the real life, your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Again, I know these are familiar scriptures, but we've got to get this in our brain, that my real life is not here in Swan Lake, well, Swan River. It's more than that. My life is not just, I'm not just Canadian, temporarily sent here. I am a spiritual being temporarily sent here for a human experience. I'm not a physical being looking for a supernatural experience. We got to get that order switched. I'm a spirit being. Say it. I'm a spirit being temporarily sent for a natural existence. That's what it is. Thank God that we're not going to be in Canada forever. It's too cold, man. I don't like this part of time. Heaven's like the perfect temperature. So it's like, oh, I can go outside. Yeah, I can go, you know, without a shirt today in heaven. Yeah, it should be good. I like that. I got to be able to, like, to enjoy some tanning up there, man. And there's going to be snow in the mountains, and yet I'm not going to be freezing. I think I can snowboard in my swim trunks and have a great time. That's what I'm picturing heaven to be like. Anybody else thinking that? Oh, you're all thinking about catching deer. Well, imagine catching deer without shivering. Hunting, you know, in your swim shorts. No, that's... I think deer probably talk in heaven, so it'd be a little bit awkward. He'd be like, Pastor Cam, please don't shoot me. Okay. catch and release. Okay, that's the... that's a fishing term. I know, that's not what you do with deer. All right. So now here we go. Let's talk about imagination. Again, imagination in Hebrew is yes, sir. But you know what it is? Yes, sir. That's what it is. In Hebrew, it's yes, sir, and it means conception. So again, in the natural, we all have to conceive to give birth. Not men, obviously. I don't need to do biology, right? We're good. Do I need to do biology? Okay, Pastor Cam, then that's all yours. In the natural, again, you have to conceive in order to give birth. Well, in the spirit world, you have to conceive in order to give birth. How crazy would it be to think, I'm going to give birth without seed? Naturally speaking. That's why we look at the birth of Jesus, and it's amazing, because he came from a virgin. And everybody else came because of, your parents. you know, doing that. But what happened? You need it to be conceived. But how crazy would it now, that, so we understand that from the natural, but how crazy for us to think, even in the spiritual, I'm going to give birth, I'm going to see this, create this miracle, the thing that I believe in God, and you've never actually conceived the thought. It's just as crazy. Yet this is what happens a lot of the times. We are looking for an external feeling to see if God is doing something in our lives. We're waiting for, you know, a miraculous touch from heaven. God, if you could just touch me, then I know that I'd be healed. You're expecting a baby without any seed. You got nothing for God to work with. You need to conceive something in your imagination. So I'm going to talk about imagination a little bit this morning, because this is where, again, talking about the limitless side of things, is that God, you and I designed us to be unlimited, but here's the thing. What have you conceived first? What have you taken? What are you pregnant with? My wife, every time when she got pregnant, she's been pregnant a couple times, four. And every time, I mean, she just, what happened over the months? I've learned this, gentlemen. I don't say, man, girl, you're getting big. Didn't go over well. I say, man, the baby is getting so big inside you. That's the answer. Right? So I got that sorted out. So when she's pregnant, what happens is it starts to grow. And man, she's rubbing her tummy. Think, what's happening? The baby's developing, it's growing until, well, our kids, the last two were extremely late. But when the due day comes, man, thank you, ready to deliver that baby. Well, it's the same way with you and I even giving birth to things in the spirit. When you conceive it and then you let it grow and grow and grow, and there it is, the manifestation's there. There are times where God does supernaturally come and you experience him and all of a sudden you get goosebumps and you go, oh, that was amazing, it's great, that's wonderful, but that's out of your control. That's not something that we should be praying to God for. The primary way that God works is he works with his word conceived inside of an individual's heart and mind, and what happens, the word just works itself out inside of us. That's the design. Seed, time, harvest. Can we do that together? Seed, I got to do time properly. Time, harvest. There are times when God, because of the situation, the circumstances, that man, there are great, there's times I've seen miracles take place. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen people get healed of cancer. I've seen those things. Thank God for it, but you and I should not be looking for that. If that's where you're looking, man, you'll sorely be disappointed from time to time because you can't just control that. Well, I just thought if, you know, somebody would lay hands on me and things would just change. You can't control that. It's God's job to heal. Your job is to believe what he said. Okay, now, you have to, as I said, conceive the promises of God on the inside first before it's seen on the outside. So my imagination is vital to me receiving from God and all that he has in store for me. It's not up to God that I receive what he has already prepared for me. I play a part in it. We see this in 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that we have been given divine precious promises so that we could basically not be part of what this world is. We've received these things, but it's not up to God that I experience it in my life. I play a major part in this. And now here's a wow reality, if you're ready. Even though God is an unlimited God, yet he can still be limited because I haven't conceived in my imagination what he has promised me. I'm going to say that one more time. Even though God is an unlimited God, we know that. Did you know that space, even right now, is still traveling at the speed of light? 185,000 miles per second still happening in this universe, in the galaxy. Still. Our God is not a limited God. He is unlimited. But even though he is unlimited, he can still be limited because I haven't conceived in my imagination what he promised me. And this is where believers get stuck, is in this part right here. Okay, let's go to Psalm chapter 1 here for a moment. And I want to just show you this, just this reality that thinking precedes being or doing. You all got Psalm chapter 1, or you just wait for the screen. You cheat, right? That's just, all right, well, I like to see it in my Bible. It helps me read it. Psalm chapter 1, let's look at verse 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. Verse 2, it says, they delight in the law of the Lord. Now notice that, what's that next word? Meditating. What is meditating? Doing weird yoga poses and humming and who knows? No, it's, what are you doing? You're meditating. You are filling your mind with God's word. It's not emptying your mind. It's filling your mind with God's thoughts. Filling your mind with God's words. That's what meditating is. But notice what you see in verse 2. They delight in the law of the Lord. So they get excited about the word of God. So this is something, again, that we talked about a couple nights ago. You got to flip the switch. I got to get turned on to the word. It's not the Word's job to get me hungry for it. I go to the Word, and by me feeding it and feeding on it and feeding on it, I stir up hunger. You can get to the point where somebody says, hey, turn to your Bible to Psalm chapter 1, and you go, bring it on! Did you know that's possible? Anybody ever say, hey, man, we're going to have donairs? Man, there's a couple of these musician guys. They know how to eat donairs. They were actually right by my church, like, what was last summer? And was that 5 years ago? Oh, I thought you were at the Duplantis thing, but no. Oh, that was you. Oh, sorry. But anyways, they got to the donair shop. Pastor Cam is eating those donairs. And so we didn't say, hey, let's go get a donair. No, I say that to some of my staff. I say, hey, guys, let's go get a donair for lunch. You know what they do? Yes! They get excited about it. Why? Because they've tasted it. When you taste this donair, I mean, people are ready to just leave Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and move to Red Deer simply because you've tasted this donair. You've tasted and seen that the donair is good. And it's the same way with the Word of God. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, everything in your life changes. So, turn your Bible to Psalm chapter 1. It's not, oh, hurry up. It's, come on, what is it? Wait, I got to see something yet from the Word of God. We can get to that place. But notice this. He says, they delight in the law of God, meditating on it day and night. So what are they doing? They're thinking it in their brain. They're meditating it. They're muttering it to themselves. They're talking it to themselves day and night. Meaning it's not they're these weirdos. No, it's not that you're not sleeping ever again. It's all of a sudden when you're just on the drive. Man, Lord, this is what you said this. By your stripes, I am healed. You said that. And you're just talking to yourself. You're muttering. You're creating. What are you doing? You're filling your thoughts with God's word. So that's what they're doing. They're meditating. Now notice verse 3. They are like. So what do we see here first? Thinking precedes being or doing. It always does. So much in this microwave generation that we live in, we just kind of think, well, this is what God says. Well, poof, make it happen. God is like a oven. It's not a microwave. You can't just, okay, God, here's the promises. Beep, boop, boop, boop. 30 seconds. Click. Bing, zing, zing, zing. I sing praises to your name. I just pray a little bit. Why am I not seeing the manifestation? Where's the miracle, God? How come I'm not seeing it? God's not a microwave. He's a slow cooker. That's what he is. He wants to get it on the inside of you. Why? So that when you got it, you got it. No devil's going to take it away from you. No human being is going to try to talk you out of it because you know that you know that you know. How many of you know that you're saved? How many know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you ever seen that book? So how do you know? You know. You are convinced because you see it in the Word. You believed it in your heart. You say it with your mouth. It is yours. Well, that same convincing that you have that you were born again, child of God, needs to be for every promise that God has said in His Word, because all of His promises are yes and amen, and we know that, but how come we're not experiencing it? Because we haven't taken the time to get it on the inside of us. It's in our brain. It's in our thinking, but it's not yet it's strong in our hearts, and that's what we're going to get into a little bit here. So let me just show you from a negative perspective that imagination works. Let's go to Numbers chapter 33, or if you just want to look on the screen, that's fine. No, that's cool. Bless you. The Israelites, they limited God by how they saw themselves. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole story because I'm sure you've heard this, but this is Israel entering the promised land. Remember, God told them that, hey, I have provided for you a land of milk and honey. And so Moses sent out 40 spies to go take a look at the land. And when they came back, what was the land like? What did they bring back? They brought back some grapes. I think I taught that at camp. I did. And God's got more grapes. He's got more and more grapes. He's got more good things. And these grapes were the size of basketballs. Imagine taking a bite of a basketball and going, man, that's a good grape. You get full off of one grape. Man, going for a cannonball in milk and honey, are you kidding me? Yes, absolutely. Be amazing. This is a land that God had promised them. This is for them. The Israelites saw it and they said, man, this is it. This place looks amazing. It's just like God told us. Yet, we saw some of the giants that lived in that land. And I'll just give you this little thing as well, that any time that God calls you to something, you know, God never told them about the giants. Why? Because it wasn't a big deal. But you know where the grapes are? The grapes that God has for you, they're in the land of the giants. They're in the land of difficulty. They're in the land where the enemy, because the enemy is not going to just let you walk in and go, oh, yay, we're here, home free. There will be a fight to everything that God has called you into. And it's not God's will, but that's because there's an outlaw on this earth looking to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's not going to give you the promised land just for free. There's a fight of faith that's involved in it. Okay, amen. But anyway, so now we kind of go down to this, and all of a sudden the Israelites, are they're hearing this. The 12 spies come up, and 10 of them start going, man, yeah, it's amazing, but the giants are huge, man. They got swords. Their heads are massive. It's wild. Now, Caleb and Joshua said, no, shut up. We can do it. We can take this land that God promised us. We can do it, right? Said, no, we can. They started whining. And look at Numbers 13, verse 33. And this is what the 10 spies said. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. How did they see themselves? So they took the assumption of how they saw themselves, and they portrayed, or they put that on the giants, and the giants thought that we were too. And actually, if you come to the book of Joshua, you hear about all those giants, all those major cities. They didn't have a single thought. They were actually scared of the Israelites. Isn't that wild? Oh, but what was the problem? It's the way that they saw themselves. What's the problem? It didn't matter what the giants thought. It mattered what God thinks, but secondly, what they thought of themselves. And they did not enter. Like, this is wild. They did not enter into the fullness of what God had promised them. They limited God because of the way they saw themselves or their imagination. It rocked them. So what'd they do? Well, God said, well, first of all, he wanted to wipe them all out. Then what happened? They spent the next 40 years in the desert until that entire generation died off. That's something. Man, oh man. Now look at this verse in Psalm 78, verse 41. I encourage you, just read Psalm 78, especially in the Passion Bible. It brings it out really cool. But in verse 41, it says, again and again, they, meaning the Israelites, they limited God, preventing him from blessing them. What did the Israelites do? They limited God. But God's unlimited. Yes, but he can still be limited by you and I. Isn't that wild? I mean, that's how perfect of a God that we have. What a gentleman that he is. He will not override what you and I want. They limited him continually. They turned back from him and provoked the Holy One of Israel. They provoked him. And that's not a good place to be. Next, I want to show you this. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Did you know at one point the entire human race actually pierced or hurt, put a big hole in the heart of God? Genesis chapter 6, it says this, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was constantly and totally evil. And the Lord was sorry that he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. It broke his heart. Well, I thought it was just my actions could hurt God. Well, no, apparently what I see here, it's what I'm thinking. What's going on, my imagination, what am I thinking about on a regular basis has the potential actually hurting my Father's heart. Lord, I don't want to break God's heart with a wrong imagination. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hurt his heart. He did what he did for me. I'm going to give him my imagination. Did you know imagination was God-inspired? The devil never created imagination. Because when you hear imagination, people kind of start thinking, and they kind of pervert it, right? Or they got fantasies, or they got this. And you just talk about, imagine if we could do that. And it's a lot of nastiness. But God gave us an imagination so that we could conceive his thoughts. That's why he did it. So, again, so we're just saying, Lord, I'm hungry for your thoughts. And I choose to open myself and expose myself to your word because I need your thoughts. This is why the Bible is such a big deal to us, because this isn't just, you know, contains a couple words of God. It is the word of God. And I want my mind to be so controlled by his thoughts, his ways, his words in my life, so that I start thinking like him. Isn't that the name of the game for Christians? Don't we want to be just like him? If I want to be like somebody, what do I got to do? I got to think like somebody. You hear those words, we have the mind of Christ. And we go, yeah, amen. What does that actually mean? Who actually has contained the mind of Christ? Well, we do. But how do we let it out? Is we have to get it inside of us. We got to let the imagination run wild according to the word of God. Okay. And number three, look at this, the Tower of Babel. Again, I'm sure you've heard that story, but look at it again on the screen, Genesis 11, 5 and 6. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, say it with me, the Lord said. The Lord said, say it, the Lord said. This is not the Tower of Babel talking. This is what the Lord is saying. The Lord said this, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language, And this is the only, this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. These are bad people. And what's he saying? Nothing that they would put themselves to do will be impossible for them. So this shows me just as much as righteousness has to be conceived, sin also has to be conceived and carried out. Nobody just starts off doing bad things, but they take a thought. They capture a thought in their imagination and they take hold of it. I remember this story, Kenneth E. Hagin, who used to be a prophet, passed away in 2003. He always told this story. There was a pastor and a pastor couple, husband and wife, and they're having some issues in their marriage. And first of all, what's going on, this happened. This lady was sitting at her desk. Brother Hagin saw this in a vision. She was sitting in front of her mirror, and all of a sudden she heard these words: "You're a beautiful woman. You could be making thousands of dollars a month by singing in nightclubs. Why don't you just go ahead and do that?" And at first, she said, she knew where that was. She said, "Get behind me, Satan. I'm not taking any of those thoughts." Well, Satan left for a season, only to come back a couple months later and said the exact same thing. She's sitting in her chair looking herself in the mirror. And the voice said, "You're a beautiful woman. You could be making a ton of money singing in nightclubs and these dance clubs. You should go ahead and just do that." And at that moment, you know what, the Brother Hagin saw this in a vision. She took it. And she started thinking, I am a beautiful woman. I do have a great voice that I'm not really able to use in the church that I'm a part of. Yeah, you know what? It starts there. Now, not like she went out to a nightclub the next weekend. She probably stuck around for a little bit. But over time, I think it was a period of about 3 or 4 years, she was out of the church. She left her husband, left her 4 kids, and she's singing in nightclubs. How does that happen? How does that happen? She took a thought. And what did that do? It conceived in her imagination. And now what is she doing? She's seeing herself singing in nightclubs. She's seeing herself being all dolled up and looking so great and now singing in these nightclubs. It starts as a thought. So that's why the Word of God tells us to be careful what we're putting on the inside, what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're thinking and saying. It's important because eventually, out of the abundance of our heart, it's going to come out. Yeah? Okay? This is what the Lord said. Nothing that they have imagined will be impossible because they conceived it in their vision of their mind so they could do it. They could have built a tower up to heaven. Like, think about that. God says that they could do it. No, they couldn't. No, they could. So what did God do? He came down and changed the language. Bonjour. Comment ça va? My French teacher back in elementary school says that she was from Saskatchewan. Said, "I'm going to fail." Horribly. Oh, man. So they were able to do things because of their imagination. As I said, all sin has to be imagined. It has to be conceived in the mind first before it's carried out. Now, God is interested in getting people to see. Now, this is the good news. Jesus said, I love the first song that we sang to you this morning. God's whole desire, it actually said in Proverbs, I believe, chapter 20, he says, "Eyes that see and ears that hear, both are gifts from the Lord." Did you know that God desires you to see? You are created to see. You are created to hear what God wants to say. He's interested in you seeing what he sees, seeing his heart, seeing his plan. I mean, God's got a plan for your life. Did you know that? No, it's a very common thing. We understand that. But do you see it? I know God's got a plan, but it's got to come out of this. God's got a plan to, this is the plan that I'm walking in. It's got to come out of that realm, and we'll get into this. So what do I do? If I know that God has a plan for me, if I know that God desires me to see, what do I do? Again, I have to give God access to reveal his thoughts. I have to give him access. How do I do that? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to expose myself to a higher reality, and that's the Word. If Christians would just get back to daily Bible reading, you know, we'd have a lot less confusion. It'd be great to get rid of all kinds of therapists, and finally, the Word of God, just have it say. Thank God for therapy. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff, but why don't we let the Holy Spirit do what He does best, which is reveal God, reveal Jesus, show His thoughts and His character, and help you and I. That's what He wants to do. Right, so what we got to do is we got to expose ourselves to a higher reality, the Word of God, because the God and the enemy are both continually sowing seed. Remember what he said in Mark chapter 4? Remember the parable of the seed and the sower? What did it say? What does the farmer do? He's throwing seed. What is the? It doesn't matter what ground it went on. This is the heart of the Father continually, is He's throwing seed on a regular basis. What? How do they do it? Pastor Cam brings a word. All of a sudden, what's going on? Well, you know, hey, the right word at the right time. There's a whole. Oh, I forgot the word of the store. The post. The post is now developed. What's that? It's seed being thrown out. Why do we have all these Christian, you know, all on YouTube, or we got it all on online? What is happening? Seed. Seed. See, this is the heart of God. What is He interested in? Getting the word out. If your focus becomes getting the word out, you will not have to think about how the resources are going to come in. This is the bottom line. If you focus as a believer, I got to get the word out. I got to get the word out. If that becomes your motivation, God will take care of you. Why? Because this is what we're involved in. We are spiritual farmers. All of us. We're all spiritual farmers. So what we're doing is we are getting the word out. Sowing the word. Sowing the word. Well, it may fall on some ears that don't want to hear it. So be it. Sow the word, sow the word, sow the word. Because why? The enemy is doing the exact same thing. He's trying to get his word out there. And guess what? A lot of the world soaks it in fear. You can see it. It's prevalent out there. The devil says this. The devil says this. Oh, you know, and we can put Christian name on it. You can put lipstick on a pig and say it looks good. But it is impossible to dress fear up and make it sound good. It's not. You got to stick to what Jesus said. This is where this word has got to be final authority. That is a decision that you and I have to make. This is my final authority for life. So whatever the book says, that's it. Anybody made that decision? You got to cross that line. Then you don't have to pray about it. God, what do you want me to do? He already told me in His word. So what am I going to do? I'm going to develop it on the inside. So a question that you may be asking is, why is it taking so long? You know, I've been believing God for... You fill in your own blank. But a potential answer is this, is that you may need to change your inner picture. Your inner picture is wrong. I've been believing God for healing. I've been believing God for, you know, a job. What's your inner picture like? Because the Word will do that. The Word will change my picture. But again, here's the thing. If I can't see it, I can't handle or grasp it in my life. I have to grasp what God says about me, meditate until I see it. Because you know what? It is actually useless to pray, believe God for something, without a change in your inner picture. It doesn't work. Until you start seeing yourself healed, see yourself blessed, see yourself full of peace, see yourself full of joy. You have to see it before you see it. You have to see it before you see it. Where do I see it? You get it on the inside. You get a picture. Start seeing yourself waking up in the morning rather than looking up and going, I'm married to that. Again, still. It's been years and same old, same old. I got to eat cornflakes again. Man, can we get something new around here? Why is my wife always buying the crappiest cereal? You name it. People do this. They wake up. Same shower. Why isn't the thing ever fixed? It's because you don't see yourself happy. See yourself. Change. Get it in a new picture. Dear Lord. All right. I'm fine. I don't know where that came from. I'm fine. And you know, one thing that this really helped me, this phrase, if you can't believe for healing, hope for it. And what do I mean that? I don't mean wishful thinking. But sometimes, you know what people have is they have these great extravagant steps. You know, like when it comes to faith, first of all, faith is out of relationship with Jesus. I will never tell somebody, okay, so let's say this. Here, this is where I'm at. You know, one thing, God will meet you where you're at, not where you pretend to be. It's so good to be authentic. If you're not at the plate, yes, just say, oh, I'm believing God for divine healing. That's great. That's ultimate. Let's just say that's up to this platform here. Okay, this is where I want to get to. I believe God for divine healing. But you're here. So what do you got to do? What? I can't jump up there. It's not going to work. So I got to take steps. What's my first step? Hope for it. What do I mean by hope for it? Get an inner picture of it. Hope doesn't mean wishful thinking. What is faith the substance? Faith is the substance of things. What is hope? It's a confident expectation. Not, oh, I just wish that this would work. So if you're having a hard time believing God for healing, having a hard time believing God for maybe a family restoration or peace in your life, start with this. Hope for it, meaning see yourself with it. Begin that process. Begin seeing yourself well. Start seeing yourself making the bed in the morning without pain. Start seeing yourself pouring your cornflakes in a bowl without any kind of pain. Start seeing yourself, you know, going on date nights with your wife. Start seeing those things. Because again, to go from 0 to 10, that's very difficult to do. So where do we start? Thank God He is so merciful. Be where you are. Not where you think you are. Even from a natural thing, my kids, you know how many times maybe you've had the experience with your kids? My kid, like, so he just turned 7 in August, and just a little while ago, before I even left, he's like, oh, Papa, I'm almost 8. No, you're 7. Well, pretty soon I'll be 10. Yeah, you know, you will do one day. And then he's like, maybe soon I can drive. Yeah, you know, a lot of people think that they're a lot older than they actually are, or a lot of times people think that they're further ahead than they actually are. So you have to take an honest evaluation of yourself, because I've seen a lot of people that think they're there when they're here and they die between, and they don't make it. Why is that? It's because I thought I was there. If you would just be real with yourself, be real with God, God is fine with where you're at. And he want to take you to the next step. Yeah? Make sense? Okay. Talking about limitless. We want to get limitless. So that's number one. If I can't, or what do I do then in regards to, I don't even know what the question was. Why is it taking so long? That's a good question. So if God is interested in getting people to see, I need to give God access. And then secondly now, I have to exercise my imagination. Exercise. Everybody say extra fries. Exercise. I need to exercise my imaginations. Look at this, Proverbs 29:18. Very familiar scripture again. It says, where there is no vision, what happens to people? Perish. If there's no vision for your family, what happens to your family? This is every area of your life. God wants you to see pictures. If there's no vision for your finances, what happens to your finances? It's the P word. Perish. It means you don't have a plan for it. Well, they just, I don't know, they just evaporate. They have wings and they fly away. You need to have a vision for it. And who gives vision? From the Word of God. The Lord gives vision. And so am I giving myself access to hear what he wants to say? Right? Passion Bible brings it out like this. When there's no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander away. Quickly cast off. Now, what is vision? Vision is an inner picture formed by the imagination. So here we go. We're going to exercise my imagination. Proverbs 23:7. Again, a very familiar scripture. But as he thinks within himself, so is he. How you see you is who you are. Even though God, he says that you can read it in Ephesians. God, he's called you. He chose you out to be his own. He's loved you from before the foundation of the earth. He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made you the head and not the tail. He made you above and not beneath. And we go, woo, yeah, come on, give me some more. No, I'll give you some more. Ephesians 2:6. Now he raised you up to sit with him in heavenly places. How far? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, and we get, the church gets, woo, woo, woo. But how come only a handful are actually experiencing it? It's because they don't see it. They haven't exercised their imagination. When's the last time you saw yourself sitting at the right hand of the Father? Man, and from that place, rather than reacting to all the crap that's out there, now I start reacting from that throne. Oh, this is how I operate. This is what's going to happen. No, my family, we're going to live in peace. I don't care what's going to try to come and attack us. Psalm 91 is over our family. No sickness or disease is coming to me, my family, my church, my relationships. It is no chance. You start operating from there. See yourself there. Changes, right? My life is exactly the way I see myself in my imagination. My life is exactly the way I see myself in my imagination. And that was something even just kind of seeing my... this is a... kind of a personal thing. I was even just driving along, you know, some different parts in our city, and we are kind of what they would say is more in the ghetto of Red Deer, or where our church is. We have an amazing, like, we have a really nice building, and the Lord just really helped us and blessed us and all that. But we kind of look at it, we're in this area to absolutely change it. So what I have to do is I have to get a vision. One thing that the Lord just even helped me see, it's what's happening, all this, these areas. So we actually just bought a couple of lots that are in behind us. We knocked the houses off them because they were trash. But I looked at some of those places, and there, what's like, Lord, these places are horrible. Like, how can somebody, like, literally, how do you live in that thing? Simply because that's actually the image that they had of themselves. How come their lawn was never cut? How come we literally everywhere? It's because of the inner image that they have of themselves. And as they are on the inside, so what is on the outside. So I went home and I cut my lawn real quick. It's all what's going on the inside. That's why you never make fun or judge somebody for how they look or what's going on, because you know what's actually it is? It's something what's going on the inside. They have an inner picture, whether it's from a teacher, whether it's from a parent that said things nasty about them. Those words pierce. And what happens? It creates an inner image. And that inner image, if it's not changed or corrected by the Word of God or from somebody else, they'll live with that image. And sadly, a lot of people die with that same image that they were told when they were 4 years old, you're a bad boy. Are you kidding me? We need to change that inner image, especially in the generation that we are today. There is so much confusion. It doesn't help that we can basically, you can write in Google right now, and I think there's like 19 or 21 different genders you can be. Dear Lord, talk about confusion. What was happening? It's trying to change the inner man. The devil, every attack that the devil does, it's always regarding your identity. If you are the Son of God, like if Jesus, turn these stones into bread. Isn't that what they told Adam? Did God really say that, you know, if you eat that, you would, no, you would become like God. Everything about devil is identity, because he wants what we have and he can't have it. Which is that? The title of Son of God. He wants that ability, that power and authority that comes with it. He'll never get it. So everything the enemy does is to attack identity. He's going after the inner man. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's why we've got to get the word out. Well, I've heard that in Christ stuff before. No. You've got to build an inner image on the inside of you until you see you in Christ, because you look good in him. Boy, you look good in him. What is it, 1 Corinthians 6:17? That we are one spirit with the Lord. My heart, we are connected. We are one to one. Me and Jesus look the exact same on the inside, and that's the message we got to bring out, is this place of victory and this hope. Amen? Okay. Now, here's the other thought, is I can't rise above the image of myself. I will not rise. So what do I have to do? I got to change the way that I see things on the inside, otherwise I'm limiting God. You can be praying, as I said, for healing, blessings, making an impact, but the problem is that your inner picture is off, so my prayers won't work, and I have to get the right picture, because my imagination has the potential to limit God, or basically open up the dam, and watch out. Because what is he able to do, Ephesians 3:20? He wants to exceed your highest imagination. He wants to exceed that. And some of our imaginations is, I wonder if I can, hopefully I can pay off my car. It's fine. If that's where you are, that's great. But he wants to go beyond that. So we got to stop limiting him. Get a picture. And it may be for your personal life. And I want to make this clear too, just so I don't leave and people just get this thought. Because we've had even a few people they've had some ideas or vision for the church should be doing this. No. Any kind of vision direction will always come from Pastor Cam and Candace. Always. Because I've had some people come up to me, oh, the church should be involved in that rally. I said, no, but you can. Well, the church, well, who's the church? You are the church. So maybe God will give you an idea how to reach people. Does not mean it should be part of what this local church is doing. Just so I make that real clear, because that there's nothing worse than that. And you should be starting a horse ministry. Great. Maybe that's what God's telling you. Maybe we got to start a ministry how to catch deer. That's great. I'm going to start that. Right? You can, of course, ask for their blessing and to continue to pray with them, but don't ever enforce somebody else's vision over on somebody else. That's not good. If God is showing you to go pray for that person, you do it. Not Pastor Fallon or Pastor Cam or Pastor Candace, right? Or you do it. All right. High five. Okay. Just had to make sure I get that in there, because that just happened to me about a month ago. All right. Everybody still doing okay? Can I take five more minutes, 10 more minutes? How long do I have? Half hour. Woo, come on now. We are at the Limitless Conference. All right, let's get on with this. Here we go. Here's a spiritual reality. If I can see it, I can have it. If I don't see it, I don't get it. So the question is, what do you see? How do you see yourself, and what do you see yourself doing? And I'll finish off with this. I don't want to get to... It's 12 o'clock. Some of you have images of burgers at Why Not Johnny's. So let's go to Genesis chapter 15 real quick. And I want to just show you this last example, just to show that God's desire is to show his people images. He wants to get the ideas out. He wants to show us. Our God is not holding anything back from us. He's clearly opened himself up and say, hey, you want to come know about me? You want to come know about your life? Come to me. Remember Jesus said, anybody that's weary, worn out, what is his message? Come unto me. So what is that saying? I have to give him something to work with. Lord, I want to know what my plan is for my life. And then go watch 5 hours of Netflix. It's not going to cut it. Oh, God, I want to know what my plan is. How come I just don't know God? And meanwhile, you're sitting there cruising on YouTube. Well, God's not there. You got to go to him. All right. Genesis chapter 15. Look at verse 1 through 5. Just to show you this from a positive side, because we saw the negative. But sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, do not be afraid, Abram. I will protect you and will reward you great. Man, that's our God. Abram replied, Sovereign Lord, what good are all these blessings when I don't have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, no, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Now, before we go on, just notice this. What is the image that Abram's having? What does he see? He sees servant. This is it. I have no son. So what is his image of all of the blessings that God has blessed him with? Well, it's all going to this guy. I don't want that, but that's as far as he can see. So this is the grace of God. Notice what he does. Now, verse 5. Then the Lord took Abram outside. I would like to see how God took him outside. Took him outside, dragged him out there, and he said, look into the sky. What is he doing? He's creating a different picture. Because what is Abraham's picture right now? I'm old. My wife is old. It's not working. We're not conceiving. It ain't working. I've tried. It's not happening. So what is God doing? Getting a different picture. Because all that he's seeing, he's moved by what he's seeing. So God is saying, I need to show you a different picture. That's all that it is. If you think about it, that's all that it is. All you may need for some of you, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's a family, you just need a different picture. Get your hope way up there. Think as high as you can, and God will still outdo that by a bazillion. Get an image. He says, Abram, go outside, look up into the sky, and count the stars. I like these three words, if you can. Count them if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. What's God doing? He's showing him a different picture. And then later on, of course, he says, Abram, you'll have more kids than there are pebbles of sand on the seashore. I bet that, and you know what, during that time, of course, they didn't have like Nike runners or all those shoes. He wore sandals. So I believe every time that he went to sit down, ready for bed, he had to take off his sandals. And at the same time, I bet he went, had to get all the sand off his feet. What's God doing? Getting a new picture. All those pebbles of sand. Those are my kids. All of a sudden he stops. He lays underneath his tent or whatever he had. And before he went to bed, what is he doing? Looking at the stars. What's happening to him? New pictures taking place. Okay, that's 1 week. Next week, doing the same thing. All of a sudden he sits down ready to go lay beside his 90-year-old wife. How you doing, Sarah? Just wiping off my kids. And then he's, what is he doing looking up again? He's seeing stars. What's happening on the inside? He's getting a new image. And then later on, Genesis chapter, I believe it's 17, is God actually changed his name from Abram to Abraham. What does that mean? Father, and it's different than it is in Hebrew culture than it is in English culture or Canadian culture. When you name somebody, that name actually represents who you are and part of your calling. Abraham means father of many nations. So now, whenever he heard his name, not only is he now wiping sand off his feet, looking into the stars and going, whoa, now people are calling him, yo, father of many nations, I need you over here. Father of many nations, where are you? Yo, father of many nations, can you help me fix this tent? Yo, father of many nations, your goat's running away. That's what he's hearing over and 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 over again. What happened? Till he became convinced that I'm going to have a kid in my age. God promised him at 75 that he was going to be a father of many nations. When did it come into manifestation? He was 100 years old. 25 years, God built that image on the inside of him. So it's not just like God's like, just to really prove a point, I'll wait till you're 100. Bang, now you can have a kid. No, God and Abraham, he had to work with Abraham. The same way God has to work with you and I. So what's he doing? He wants to build that image so that it could come to pass. That's good news. And not only that, he not only worked with Abraham, but he also had to get Sarah on the same page. Now, you know, it takes two to tango, right? All right, biology lesson. Here we go. But I just think it's quite something that not only did he tell Abram, he changed Sarah's name as well. But if you really think about it, Abraham believed God, and his believing in God also got Sarah to hook up with him. Because imagine, you coming up to your 90-year-old wife. So, I think tonight's the night. I made you a nice lamb chop. The tent is ready. Made a candle. A beeswax candle. It's our night. Oh, Abe. Not tonight. I'm 90. No, she went along with it. You didn't realize that. Not only that, then Sarah had to carry the baby for 9 months at 90 years old. We're forgetting about some of the natural things that they had to do with this stuff. And then not only that, she gave birth at 90 years old. I've never given birth, but I have had a vasectomy, so it's probably the same. Am I right, women in the house? Am I right? This is recorded, so I hope my wife doesn't see that. Is there some truth to that? Wives? No? Maybe a little bit? Kind of? Maybe not. But isn't it amazing that Abraham and Sarah together, and actually if you go, this is the last verse, but Hebrews chapter 11, it's amazing because Sarah actually in the Passion Bible, does anybody have a Passion Bible here or they just use their phone? I encourage you, go to the post and buy one of those Bibles. It's so good. Can I just look at it real quick? In Hebrews chapter 11, I think it's verse, Sarah did something. Verse 11 maybe, is that? Okay, it says this, Sarah's faith embraced God's miracle power to conceive, even though she was barren and was past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith rested in the one who made the promise, and she tapped into his faithfulness. She did it. She tapped into it. It was the two of them coming together, and that's what the power of agreement is. When God gives a couple a vision, and they are in agreement with this vision, nothing can hold them back. That's why the power of agreement is so powerful. That's why it's so good to come under the vision of what this church is. This is who we are. This is what we do. I think I just saw it's to free. Sorry, I forgot the vision of the free, full, and overflowing. I come into agreement with that. And what happens, it's more than just, oh, that's nice. No, now you became just more powerful because you came into agreement. This is what we as a church do. And watch it. Watch it take off. It has the potential to go far-reaching and effective, way past Swan River, way past it. Why? Because you got people that are in agreement. They see the vision. They capture the big picture of what God's doing in this local house. Maybe it's for your own personal marriage or for your kids. Regardless of what it is, God designed you and I to get the picture. And when you get the picture, you get it. When you see it, you see it. When you hear it, oh, now you start seeing it and hearing it in your own everyday life. So, Father, we just thank you so much that your word is alive. Jesus, that you are here to reveal truth. You're here to give us insight and understanding, Father, to what you have called us to experience and live out in our everyday life. Father, I ask you right now that you would open up eyes to see, ears to hear, Father, for the plans, the things, Father. It says in your word that the plans of God, they are beyond all that we could see, all that we even could comprehend. But you gave us the same Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to bring all these wonderful truths, Father, into our reality. So, Father, we put a demand on that. We use our faith for that. Father, show us our next step. Show us what a next step may look like. If 10 steps are too far ahead, okay, Lord, how do we get there? What's step one for us right now? I ask you for that in Jesus' name. Father, that you would reveal next steps. Next steps. Just say that with me. I have eyes to see my next step. I have ears to hear for my next step. Yeah, believe that. Say that. I have eyes that see my next step. I have ears that hear my next step. I know exactly what my next step needs to be. Start speaking that. Start saying those things and watch it get down on the inside of you. Amen. Awesome. Well, everyone, well, thank you so much for having me. It truly was an honor to be with you this weekend. Thank you, Pastor Cam and Candace, for having me too.
Pastor Joel, it's been an honor to have you here. We've just been blessed by the impartation, by the word. And together we're receiving a different picture. Amen. We are receiving a different picture. I'm looking forward to the next time Pastor Joel is going to be here, because we're going to have some testimonies, right? We're going to have some stories of the thing that the Lord has done in our life. We're going to be able to share the different pictures that the Lord's given us and the things He's done, the way He's moved us forward, the way He's caused us to become free, full, and overflowing. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the weekend that we've been able to have. Lord, we thank You, Lord, even that with the government rules and regulations and all this, Lord, that in this season, Lord, You have protected us even in this health region, Lord, for us to be able to gather and meet in this way, Lord. We thank You that Pastor Joel has been able to travel and his church has released him and blessed him to do that. So we declare just increase to them, Lord, naturally and spiritually. Lord, all that He's imparted and given to us, we just declare just tremendous blessing in return, a tremendous harvest on the word that He's sown in our hearts. And as He travels back, we thank You that You're with Him. We declare that Your peace and Your protection is with Him, Lord, and that Your goodness chases Him down, chases him and Jamie and their family down, Lord, that you just overwhelm them with Your blessing and Your goodness. We honor them. We honor them as apostles to us and as teachers, Lord, and as pastors to us in this house, Lord. We thank You so much for bringing us together, Lord, for this partnership that You've brought us into. And so we just honor You and give You all the praise and the glory. As we go forward this week, we thank You that this is a week of victory. We declare that over this week. This is a week of victory. This is a week of taking new ground. This is a week into moving into new things and new areas where maybe we haven't seen how it's possible or how it might happen. But the faith that is starting to stir and the imagination that's giving birth to that faith is growing in our hearts. Even right now, as we take Your word, receive it with joy, and declare it will happen in my life. I am receiving a new picture, even this next week, of things that are changing, things that are aligning, things that are moving into place in my life because of You, Jesus, because I am in Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father. I declare blessing over Solid Rock Church. I declare blessing over every visitor that's here this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You are indeed doing a new thing. And we ask for this, believing it all in faith, in the name of Jesus. Amen.